Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 16 of the Classic Pinball Podcast. My name is George, and unfortunately, I'm not joined by my co-host, Dave, today. Dave is working on lots of pinballs for his customers and the holidays. Congratulations again to Keith Christensen for putting on one spectacular arcade show. He's an outstanding host and demonstrated that Texas hospitality that is so world famous. So, Keith, again, thank you. Also, shout out to his wife, Tina, one of his many volunteers, a gal by the name of Stephanie. So, thank you again for making me feel so much at home. I guess I'm a little late in publishing this episode, and I've already listened to several podcasts talk about the big reveal of Retro Atomic Zombie Adventureland. It appears most of the podcasts reviewing the game having not been there. So I think I am one of the few people who actually attended the show, has a podcast, and can do a personal review. More about that later. This episode's going to concentrate on, I guess, my travelogue through Houston. I arrived there with my wife. We went out for the obligatory Mexican. It was quite good. A couple of blocks from the hotel. There's plenty of food venues in and around the West Chase area of Houston. So if you do plan on attending the show next year, you'll have a wide variety of places to choose if you care to go out to eat. Thursday was a bigger day. I started the day by hitting the Waffle House, which is something we don't have here in the Northeast. Haven't had Waffle House probably in over 10 years. Later in the day, I went to Corkscrew Barbecue in Spring, Texas. Quite good. I would recommend it. I had their brisket sandwich. I saw and ate with someone who ordered the feast, which had a little bit of everything on it. The ribs looked awesome. A gigantic sausage, some turkey, some brisket, a little bit of everything. So the sampler looked out smoky good. That's not the only reason I went to Corkscrew. 5 minutes away is the town of The Woodlands, and it houses the pinball arcade, the Game Preserve, which is a all-you-can-play venue arcade up in the Spring area. The reason for that is I was hoping to play maybe a couple of games that were going to be in the tournament on Friday that I was enrolled in. Well, turns out there were only two games that were available or that were going to be in the tournament. Congo and Adam's Family. Congo from November 95, a little outside our wheelhouse, but got to play it. Not a big fan that day. Came around and played it again on Friday. A little bit more about that later. Played Adam's Family. Had not played that game that much. A game that was done in 1992. I'm sure you're all aware of it. Biggest seller for Bali back in the day with over 20,000 units. I also had the opportunity to play Popeye. Now I understand why. Again, a 1994 game that you can keep. I understand why people don't like that with the playfield that is buried, I guess, or you can't see the bottom playfield from the top playfield. Just not a game for me. Had the opportunity again to play Charlie's Angels. That game's starting to grow on me. Guardians of the Galaxy. Hadn't played that game since its introduction several years back. And having seen World Cup Soccer on several Twitch broadcasts, I played that as well, and that's a fun game. I would definitely play that game again, and that's one from 1994.
It's showtime.
Show opened a little early. I think I got there at 11:30 and had the opportunity to play Retro Atomic Zombie Adventureland.
I am a zombie. 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 I am a zombie.
I wanted to make sure that I got on the game early Friday before all the crowds arrived, and I could play multiple games in a row so I could get kind of the feel of the game. The most frustrating part of this game was the Ride the Coasters ramp. It's a clear ramp with a vintage jet plane mounted to the top. The jet plane has this retro cockpit mounted to the top of the fuselage, like a bubble, a blue bubble, and it's got some red stripes with the cocked back wings. It looks very, very retro. I'm giving Deep Root the benefit of the doubt because they kept stressing over and over again that it's a prototype game. But over the course of five games, a couple of those games with multiple players, I saw no one make the ramp shot all the way to the top. It's an inviting ramp. You want to shoot it. It's just sitting there staring you straight in the face. So in order to hit this ramp, you're shooting from the left flipper. The ramp entrance is about halfway up the play field on the right-hand side. The frustration with this ramp is it would only make it up three quarters of the way. You have a corkscrew and then a super steep pitch. So if you think of it as a parking garage with a circular ramp, you've got the ramp going from one floor to the next, and then this super straight ramp that goes directly to the next floor. So it is really, really difficult to get that ball up there. And it's very, very steep. So I kept asking myself the question, is this to keep people coming back to play the game? In other words, make that shot so hard that only few can make it, and that you keep looking at this ramp saying, I can make that ramp. And if you don't make it on one game, you come back and you play it again. So I had to track down Deep Root employee and number 10 IFPA player ranking in the world, Steve Bowden. And I did have the opportunity to corner Steve Bowden during the tournament later on Friday. And I brought that to his attention and said, why not have the flippers juiced up a little bit more so people could hit that ramp? I've heard people talk about hitting the ramp. And again, having played four or five games with a multitude of people, I never saw anyone go all the way up the ramp. So I attributed it to weak flippers or weaker flippers. The answer that Steve gave me was, well, we don't want the game to get wrecked and bust it all up. And if you do happen to only go three quarters of the way or halfway up the ramp, give it a nudge at the bottom and it'll hit into the targets and you'll receive some points. So it needs a little work in that regard. I don't understand why other podcasters are calling people out for not taking high-res video. If you cared enough, you would have attended the show. Most of the podcasts recruited others to review. This is my first-hand account. I experienced two to three resets on the five games that I played. I also experienced a couple of stuck balls or non-registered drains. Again, I'm speaking facts from my experience, and understandably, it's a prototype game. They're trying to work out the kinks, so I'm giving them a break. And we'll wait until I see the final results in March. The other call out I've heard on several podcasts is that the video that was taken, there were no great players. Well, you need to understand that Friday morning, most of the good players, or into Friday afternoon actually, most of the good players were playing in the Texas pinball finals. So all the best players in Texas, and I'll talk about some of the people that I played with, were in that suite playing in the tournament. So of course you're not going to see at that point in time anybody on Retro Atomic Zombie Adventureland for a video. And that would hold true for probably the remainder of Friday and most of the day on Saturday. All those good players were either doubling up and playing a second round of matches, or they were in the finals. So the only time that they really would have had, and it didn't end until probably close to 11 o'clock on Saturday night, none of them really would have had the opportunity to go out there and play the game. So I have to say that is that's my experience with Retro Atomic Zombie Land. Pretty game, needs some work. Certainly we'll probably see a much better version of it when it's released, and I believe they gave the day of, you know, 8:55 on the 25th of March or whatever the day was. You could go read all the other blogs and listen to the other podcasts for that information. It's been covered. I was there. Again, like the game, I'll reserve judgment until it's complete. So that leads us into later Friday. On Friday night, or actually Friday afternoon, I played in the A division of the Space City pinball tournament. So there were four different sessions that one could get in. I was in the A session. And as you've heard in prior podcasts, there was some reservation on my part in even going into this tournament. Well, things worked out pretty well for me. Not terrific, but pretty well. Much better than my expectations. So, we'll leave it at that for now. Tournament registration started at 4 o'clock. I elected not to do any warm-ups and decided to just take it easy since I had played a bunch of pinball earlier in the day. I decided just to take it easy and let the chips fall where they may. 5 o'clock came and the matches began. Well, it's a match play event. So you're playing four people. Scoring would be 3-2-1 based on how many people you actually beat. So first place would get you 3 points, second place two, third place one, and obviously fourth place zero. So the first game comes up and I'm introduced, first game being Jurassic Park. So I lucked out. I'm like, great, this is something I played earlier today, have some familiarity, understand where the shots are, so I'm not going to be in too bad a shape. So, friendly gentleman Robert, and believe it or not, two very young children. One was four, George, and another young lady by the name of Elena. Now, George belonged to Thomas Cornell, who was a gentleman that I got to meet, and I found out that small George, or little George, was the fourth. And obviously, my name's George. I told him, hey, I'm here. You know, Georges stick together. You need anything, let me know. Also, in the back of my mind, I'm saying I cannot lose to a four-year-old. With that said, I didn't. The children played well, but not well enough. And when the game was over, somebody came up to Robert and said, hey, Byers, I finally figured out, oh, it's Robert Byers. That's who I ended up losing to. I didn't feel so bad because I knew he was a ranked player in Texas. So on game one, I took a second. I was pretty happy. Second game, played for the first time, was Indy 500. People that I had no idea who they were. You can go out on matchplay.events and take a look if you care. But with that said, I play second. Feeling pretty good about myself. Third game, we come up to Tron. Another game I've never played before. I took second to that, again to a gentleman by the name of Chad Lauer. Chad ended up placing, I believe, second in the B division of this tournament. So, again, another great player. Fourth game, The Shadow. Yet another game that I have never played before. Guess who I ended up playing on this game? The one and only Colin McAlpine. I knew I was not going to beat that gentleman. But, again, I came in second. And after the game, he made me feel really good. He said, I watched your play and knew right then that you had absolutely no idea what you were doing. But with that said, you made all the shots that needed to be made. And as it turns out, I only ended up losing to Colin by 7,000 points, I believe. It was very close. So I was happy. I believe he was fourth in that game. So I don't believe he played the rest of his ball, but it made me feel pretty good that I competed with Colin. And Colin, I thank you very much for the kind words. I went up to him afterwards and said, you put a big smile on my face. I won't forget that for a long, long time. So game five was The Walking Dead. I happened to play with two folks from San Antonio, a shout out to Lori and Jamie. I placed first on a game that I had not ever played before, so I was feeling pretty good going into game six, and that's when the wheels came off. Sixth game was Earthshaker. I played against some pretty stiff competition. Bob Matthews, Mark Reserve, Courtney, I'm sorry I don't remember your last name. I ended up placing fourth on a game I had never played before. And when the final tally came up for the entire session A, I was 17th. I was pretty pleased. 17th out of 52. Certainly made me smile, and I didn't come in last. Far from it. So I had a good first tournament experience, and I'm pretty happy. There were three more sessions, one on Friday night and two more on Saturday morning to complete the tournament, and I'll have those results in a few minutes. Friday night was a blast. Keith Christensen and his band Loaded Popcorn, great rock and roll band, followed by a very unusual act called Atari Matt, who was playing Atari console music. Very different. Take a look out on YouTube. I'm sure you can find some video on Atari Matt. And followed by Scott DeNisi, who became the DJ for the remainder of the evening. During Scott's set, Keith threw out Star Wars sabers, plastic gnomes, Cracker Jacks, anything that wasn't nailed down. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure there's video out online somewhere, but Keith really does throw one heck of a party. Saturday was the swap meet early in the day. Some stuff, but not a lot of pinball. It seemed like there was more arcade than pinball, although someone did come in a 20-foot truck with a bunch of play fields and games. But other than that, didn't stick around for long. Played some pinball on Saturday morning for a couple of hours when it opened at 10. But ended up leaving for couple hours to go spend some time with my wife in Houston. And one of the things we ended up doing was going to the Carbach Brewery. The Carbach Brewery was a lot of fun. Had the opportunity to sample three different beers from there. An IPA called Light Circus, a Bock beer called Crawford Bock, and the third was called Love Street, which I was told is the number one selling light beer in Texas. Found it hard to believe that they are number one compared to Bud Light and to Miller Lite, but the barkeep told me that there's a lot of millennials in Texas and that that is the go-to beer. So shout out to Carbach Brewery. Had a lot of fun there. After Carbach, my wife and I went to an area of Houston called the Heights. Kind of bohemian, millennial, a hot and upcoming spot or area of Houston. Lots of little shops, coffee, you know, bars, etc. An up-and-coming area in Houston. So if you're visiting the Houston area, an area to be seen. Several people recommended that if you wanted the true Texas experience, one should visit the Taste of Texas. Not only are they known for their Angus beef, but they're known for their Texas collection of memorabilia and artifacts. The day that we attended, unfortunately, those artifacts were not there, but in its place, they put up their holiday decor, which was outstanding. Talk about getting into the holiday spirit in November. The place looked unbelievable. I'm told that one of the owners, Nina, is responsible not only for collecting those artifacts, but for also all the holiday decor that one sees in that restaurant. My wife had a sirloin strip, New York sirloin strip, that was terrific. I had a cowboy steak, bone in. One of the items that stood out on the menu that I had not ever seen before was something called a bone-in filet mignon, which I guess I'm going to have to get the next time I'm in Texas. Staff, attentive. Food, terrific. Old-fashioned salad bar, make your own salad. Chilled plates, they go the extra mile to make your visit one that is unforgettable. At the end of the meal, a gentleman in a blue suit came over to ask us how our meal was. And I noticed that he was one of the only people in the restaurant that did not have a name tag on. So I asked and said, "Are you the owner of this establishment?" And sure enough, he was. Ed Hendy is his name, along with his wife Nina, and they put on one terrific, they put out one terrific meal and an outstanding looking restaurant. Ed spent probably 5 or 10 minutes chatting with us at the table, not only asking us about the food, but where we were from, and, you know, certainly an engaging individual. Turns out that Ed and Nina's grandson is going to school here in New Hampshire, where I live, and I invite Ed and Nina, if they do happen to visit their grandson sometime this year, that they should look me up. And I'd love to take them to my favorite steakhouse here in southern New Hampshire called Buckley's Great Steaks. Michael Buckley is the proprietor. He puts out one outstanding meal. So if you are in the southern New Hampshire area, I invite you to take a look at his restaurant in Merrimack, New Hampshire. And for all those who are visiting the greater Houston area, make it a point to go visit Ed and his wife Nina at the Taste of Texas, a terrific restaurant with unbelievable food. After the meal, we made our way back to the hotel, where I spent several hours with a group of people watching the Space City Pinball Tournament Finals. I'd like to thank Phil Grimaldi, the tournament director, for putting on one outstanding event. And a shout out to Jeff Teolis and Mark Meserve for handling the broadcast duties that were on Twitch. They were doing the play-by-play for the finals. But I'd like to recognize some people that were in the peanut gallery and that stuck with the finals for probably 3 or 4 hours. The Good Guy Award goes to Ray Ford. Ray, enjoyed being with you on Saturday night in the crowd, watching the game. He was telling me all about the San Antonio pinball scene and how it's grown. And I guess there is a coffee house, What's Brewing Coffee Shop, that has grown from several machines to, I think he told me, they're up to 15 or 20 machines now, and they've become the pinball hub of San Antonio. So, Ray, thanks for you know, for being so welcoming to an outsider like myself and extending that that great Texas hospitality. So the finals ended, and no surprise, Colin McAlpine, number one. Number two, Steve Bowden. Number three, Preston Monica, or Manisha. And four, Zach Palmer. Robert Byers came in fifth, and Mark Meserve sixth. So that's how the Space City Pinball Tournament ended. But that's not all. So we're coming to the final close, and on Saturday night I had the opportunity to see Radio Cult. They were, again, another rock band, quite good. Clive Farrington joined them for his song, and I think it's what, I Promise? He was very good as well. Midnight comes, it becomes the Yacht Disco Party. Again, Keith at his finest, throwing out captain's hats, more Star Wars swords, more plush, more, you know, plush toys. He just was going nuts. And the champagne toast, along with the Margaritaville sing-along. And that ended the party for Saturday night. I don't know how long it went. I was, you know, I had had my fill. I think it was 12:30, 1 o'clock by the time, you know, my day had ended. Some of the things that are nearby, oh, before I forget, cosplay. There were some great costumes. That's a whole nother piece of the show. And the finals were also on Saturday night. So you had Mario. I don't know. There were so many different costumes. I'm not from that arcade era, so forgive me. I don't know all the characters. But people were dressed up, and it was a lot of fun. Play a lot of games that I had not played before. I think that pretty much does the show. In wrapping up, I did Attack from Mars remake. I got to play the Munsters again with the dungeon. You can keep the dungeon. I just don't get that piece of the game. Munsters is a fun game, easy shooter. I also want to thank Titan Pinball for bringing 7 games to the show. The 2 that I played were Alice Cooper and Total Nuclear Annihilation. Games were a lot of fun, and I thank them for bringing those games to the show. I'd like to give a shout out to Nick Baldridge. What a great guy. He has a podcast called For Amusement Only. I call him the Bingo Guy. He had the multi-bingo game, and if you're not familiar with it, it's basically an all-in-one, every bingo game ever manufactured put into one cabinet. He took the time to explain how to play and played a couple of games and showed me how to play a bingo. So thanks to Nick. Also doing my tourist recap, plenty of things to eat around the hotel, Whataburger around the corner, great empanada place in the strip mall next door, Old Town Kolache, a couple of blocks away, again being from Czech descent. Kolache is a Czech pastry that is made either with meats or fruits. I had both. So those are a couple of the restaurants that I visited near the hotel. So in closing, there's a couple of games I forgot. I played a Stern Stars, which was fun to play. Game from my youth called Space Time. Could have used some better flippers. The game Super Straight, which was in a plexiglass cabinet and head. Hard not to miss that game. Houdini, tough game, tight shots. I'm sure you've heard that before. Oktoberfest, a game I played at Pintastic. That game's starting to grow on me. So I thank all of you for listening, and be good and be well, and we'll see you with our next episode.
Get right back.